So here we are, 10 years later. And according to the lectionary gospel readings, this list of readings that was put together back in 1983, we have Jesus talking about forgiveness. And when I saw that, when I made the connection after I had planned on my sermon, I'd put these together with the scriptures and decided this is where we're going. And when I put them on the calendar, I looked at it and I said, "Really, God? Is that what you do to me?" And I, as you may have heard in my opening and in my prayer, I have a lot of mixed feelings about all these last 10 years. And when it comes to our nation's response, I have many mixed views of how we have been involved since the World Trade Center and the attacks upon the White House and the Pentagon. And I have some proud and positive feelings, others that have made me sad, a few that have made me angry. And the truth is that the post-9/11 world has been confusing and divisive. And the Christian church in its many forms has spoken out of both sides of its mouth. And it's added to the confusion. And I will do my best not to add to the confusion. And I instead hope that we would focus our attention on the sliver of God's word that we had this morning. Because here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, we find Peter listening to Jesus teach about forgiveness. And suddenly, we hear him ask a very heartfelt question. "Hey, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? 7 times. 7 times. It seems generous to us because when you look at Jewish scribal law, there is a section of it that clearly states about the limitations of forgiveness. And it reads, "If a man transgresses 1 time, forgive him. If a man transgresses 2 times, forgive him. If a man transgresses 3 times, forgive him. If a man transgresses 4 times, do not forgive him." So Peter is thinking about this law of forgiveness, and he's looking at Jesus, and he says, "I think I'm gonna impress Jesus and show that I think he means that we should be more forgiving." So he takes that formula of 3, multiplies it by 2, and adds 1, and arrives at 7. And that's generous, isn't it? And it's a question that we would ask. How much forgiveness is enough? How much forgiveness is too much? What are the minimum requires that I have to adhere to and still follow you? And can you imagine what Peter's shock was when Jesus turned to him and looked at him and said, "Not 7 times, Peter, but 77 times. And then Jesus tells a parable about a servant to a king who has a huge debt, and he comes before the king and begs for forgiveness and pleads for mercy. And the king gives it to him. He forgives him. And as the servant goes home, he runs into someone who owes him a very small amount. And the servant then grabs hold of this person, this man, and drags him over to the debtor's jail. And it's his right. If you have a debt that you can't pay at this time, you had the right of throwing that person into debtor's jail. But when the king finds out that that's what the servant has done, he calls the servant back and throws him back into debtor's jail. And then Jesus concludes with what might be one of the most frightening summations in all of Scripture. And he says, if we who have been given much forgiveness and grace cannot extend mercy to others, then God's forgiveness will not count for us. Again, we are people who have received much forgiveness from God, and God has forgiven us. But if we are not able to forgive one another, then that forgiveness does not stand for us anymore. And I don't know about you, but I look at that and I think, oh man, that's scary to me. And as we are here on this, in this date of remembrance, this post-9/11 world, it's really easy to stand and make the grand statement that that Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to extend forgiveness to those who wrong us. And I think that's an easy thing to say because it's such a huge scope. And we can pretend to forgive because we will never actually encounter those who wronged us as a nation. I am never going to run into someone, or at least it's very unlikely that I will run into someone who was a part of that attack. I don't think it's going to happen. And it would be wrong for me to sit here and take this scripture and throw it at you and tell you that that's what you have to do, is forgive them, because it's such a big scope. And it's so easy to say one thing when you're not encountering someone else. And it would be wrong because today's scripture really isn't about forgiving your enemies. Today's scripture is about forgiving your brother or sister in the faith. It's about forgiving those we walk alongside as we listen to Jesus and wonder how Jesus wants us to respond to this 10-year anniversary of a horrible day. And let's be honest, as we walk alongside Jesus and as we try and listen and figure out what Jesus wants us to do, and we look at the people that we are traveling with, there are some that we agree with and understand, and there are others with whom we disagree with and get angry with sometimes. But in today's scripture, when we condense things down, Jesus is implying that we shouldn't limit the forgiveness that we have for one another. And Jesus is saying that to receive forgiveness from God carries a responsibility. It's a responsibility to pass it on. It's a responsibility to share it with one another. It's a responsibility to show the grace that has been given to you. And the last one is that we should forgive our brothers and sisters in the church. And I don't think Jesus was saying 77 as a literal number. I think he was simply saying, however much you think you should forgive, well, it's really so much more. The patience that God has with you is the same patience that you should have with one another. And again, as we talked about this last week, that doesn't mean always that trust is earned immediately and that, you know, there are negotiations that happen in forgiveness and reconciliation. But we should be able to forgive one another. We should be able to model. And here's where it really rubs against me. And that is that for me, it is easier to say I forgive misguided and manipulated terrorists that I will never meet than it is for me to forgive the likes of Reverend Terry Jones or Reverend Fred Phelps and the people of the Westboro Baptist Church. I have a harder time forgiving those who say they follow Jesus and then act nothing like him. And in doing so, perpetuate hate and endanger the lives of thousands of people because of their statements and their actions. That's much harder for me. I don't like it when other people make my job harder for me. And yet, this is exactly where Jesus goes. And in so many ways, I hang my head because I know that my grace pales in comparison to that of God, who has already given me more grace than I deserve. You see, we live in a world where forgiveness is not natural. Bishop Will Willimon writes these words. He says, "The human animal is not supposed to be good at forgiveness. Forgiveness is not some innate, natural human emotion. Vengeance, retribution, violence, these are natural human qualities. It is natural for the human animal to defend itself, to snarl and crouch in a defensive position when attacked, to howl when wrong, to bite back when bitten. Forgiveness is not natural. It is not a universal human virtue." Forgiveness is hard. But in a world where people can plot violence upon innocent people, in a world where we can set across the ocean in search of violent retribution and vengeance, maybe the message of loving one's enemy is too big a message to begin with. Which brings us back to the scripture today. Maybe it's time to practice forgiveness with those we know. If the church can truly become a place of healing and forgiveness and reconciliation, then we might be stronger medicine in a world where vengeance speaks louder. We who believe and proclaim ourselves to be a forgiven people should be quick to forgive one another. See, it has to begin here. It has to begin with one another. It has to begin in God's church. As we look forward from this day, I wore black specifically because in the time of remembrance, it is a time of grief. But as we look forward, if forgiveness is Jesus' prescription, then we need to be stronger medicine. And it begins with one another. It begins here. And I hope that as we learn how to forgive one another, that makes a difference in our community. And that makes a difference throughout the world. It begins here. May we be strong medicine for a world that is in need of tremendous healing. Amen. Amen.